From Little Rock Public Radio, this is Insight with Jonathan Seaborn. Each week, I host thoughtful conversations with people helping to shape our civic, cultural, and economic life right here in Central Arkansas. On today's show, I'm joined by Frank Cuervo, Director of Athletics at the University of Arkansas Little Rock. Since stepping into the role, Frank has been helping guide Trojan Athletics through a period of significant change, from conference realignment to facilities development to navigating the rapidly evolving world of college athletics, including NIL and student engagement. Frank's path to UA Little Rock is an interesting one. Shaped by a career spent working across multiple levels of collegiate athletics and administration, this experience gives him a unique perspective on what it takes to build a competitive program, while also supporting student athletes academically and personally. In today's conversation, we talk about his vision for the future of Trojan Athletics, the university's plan for facilities improvements, and what it means for UA Little Rock to join the United Athletic Conference. We also explore the broader landscape of college sports and how institutions like UA Little Rock are working to adapt to the new financial realities. Frank also shares his thoughts on reconnecting students with athletics, strengthening community support, and building momentum for Trojan programs. Here's our conversation. Frank, thanks for joining me today.
Hey, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great, great. So you've made your move to Arkansas in the spring of 24. So as we come up kind of on that end of your second year here with UA Little Rock, I'm curious, you know, what's your impression been of the region, and does it feel like home yet?
We absolutely love it. My wife of now 20, about to be 21 years here this summer, and my son, who's 12 and will be 13 later this year, they absolutely love it. Yeah, we've lived a number of different places, and fortunately, we've always lived in really good spots. I think we've really liked just about everywhere we've been, but I'm not sure that any place has become home and really comfortable as fast as Little Rock has. I think the area is great. It has so much to offer. Certainly the UA Little Rock community is fantastic and has been very welcoming. And then just the region as a whole, what you hear about, Southern Nice and people being really welcoming. It's true. And we've certainly found that to be the case. So we love it here. It's definitely home for us.
Yeah. So I started just about a year before you and came from the deserts of West Texas.
My
family feels the same. And I tell people all the time, I feel like Little Rock punches above its weight class.
That's good. Well said.
You know, the arts, you know, the ballet, the ASO, the access to athletics for a population size, it really is pretty extraordinary here. You also came to UA Little Rock with more than two decades of experience within college athletics. So what was it about UA Little Rock that kind of drew you here?
Well, I had been through Little Rock a time or two, and you know, to your point about punching above its weight class, I always felt that there was a little bit of sizzle here, and I think certainly the university is a big part of it. The fact that it's centrally located within the state and it is the state capital, I think that's another element. I just felt like there was really a great opportunity to be successful here. It's a program and an institution that's done some really good things over the course of its history, but still has some room above its head to achieve and grow. And felt like there were a number of pieces in place here that I'm sure we'll talk about today that really provided a chance to be successful and to grow and to do some really big things. And we've been fortunate, my team and I, over these first roughly 21 months that I've been here, that we've been able to really get some great positive momentum going for the athletics program. And the way I view it, and those of you who've heard me speak in public have heard me say that, the athletics program isn't the most important thing that happens on any campus. There's research and the education of tens of thousands of young people and all these sorts of things that far outweigh the outcome of any game or contest. But oftentimes, right, wrong, or indifferent, athletics can be one of, if not the most high-profile thing that happens on a campus. And that provides a tremendous opportunity to shine a spotlight on all those other great things that are happening. And so, I viewed it that athletics and the institution and the community were very well aligned. And so it all just stacked up to make a really appealing proposition for my family and I.
Fantastic. Yeah, and you're right. It's often said that college athletics is, it's the front porch of a university. And there is often a direct correlation between athletic success and enrollment.
And you're right, UA Little Rock has seen success over the years, whether that's, you know, the mid-2010s with basketball, most recently baseball.
Certainly. You
know, made it into the postseason and had an exciting game with Louisiana, which was a lot of fun to witness. And then wrestling has had a tremendous amount of success.
Yeah, that's been a great story here, right?
So how do you, you know, in this kind of new time, and especially at this level, that success sometimes is hard to maintain. So how do you maintain that, but also try to build upon that success we've seen recently?
Sure. Well, you know, we have had a number of really interesting pockets, some of which you've mentioned, that have been great stories, right? Great stories to tell, great things to bring to your constituents. You know, our postseason run during the college baseball season this past year was phenomenal. You know, and kind of the inside baseball, no pun intended of that, is that while sure it was great for our baseball program, right, and what we were doing on the field, and you know, being the only team to beat LSU, who were the eventual national champions, and being just a couple of outs of going to a super regional ourselves, those are all fantastic things. But the backstory is that the type of exposure that opportunity created for the institution, for Little Rock as a city and Arkansas as a state, was absolutely phenomenal. You know, over that course of that 5 days at the LSU regional, you know, there was an aggregate audience of nearly 6 million people that watched the Trojans on one of the ESPN platforms, and it created nearly 9 million social media impressions. So, you know, as I share, there are people from Seattle to Miami and all points in between that were Googling Little Rock, Googling the Trojans, and figuring out, you know, what was going on. So, we're excited to be able to provide that platform for the university. You know, one of the main things that I preach to our team, to our staff, is that you've got to have great energy. You know, and I think in a crowded marketplace, and certainly there's some folks that might have another, you know, college affiliation, whether it's in-state or somewhere else. Yeah, you got to have energy and show excitement, enthusiasm for what you're doing. If I can't be excited about what we're doing, there's no way I'm going to be able to get the guy sitting next to me to be excited. So, you know, that's one of the hallmarks that we look to execute, is that we're going to bring great energy, high energy, show folks that, you know, an association with Trojan Athletics is meaningful, not just because of sports, right, but because of what it can do, you know, for the community as a whole. And so it's accessible, affordable entertainment right here in our backyard at a high, high level Division I intercollegiate athletics.
Great. You've mentioned in the past that you wanted to create a program that Arkansas can be proud of. I'm curious. Definitely. With the changes in NIL, you know, the college landscape or athletic landscape has changed drastically, even just in the past two or
sure.
3 years.
Definitely.
Have you had to kind of reassess what that looks like, or at least how you get there to create that program that we're proud of?
Well, I think the roadmap maybe changes a little bit. I don't think the desired outcome or the desired result changes. You know, I'll tell you that there probably hasn't been this much chaos and upheaval in the collegiate athletics landscape, you know, really since the late 70s and early 80s with the advent of Title IX that brought about a whole library of women's sports and into the college landscape. And, you know, at that point, there was a lot of uncertainty, right? Things were changing literally minute by minute. But as you fast forward, you know, 50 years, you can see, hey, that was a really great thing, right? It you know, provided so many opportunities for, you know, for girls and women in sports, the platform that women in collegiate sports are competing on now rivals, you know, their male counterparts, and in some cases eclipses it. So I try to look at that and say, hey, there was a moment of chaos and it led to some really good things. So I'm hopeful that, you know, maybe a decade or two now, we'll look back on this period and say, yeah, wow, there was a lot going on, a lot changed in a hurry, but it helped usher in a new era that became different, but productive, and is one that people came, you know, will come to wrap their arms around. I think at the end of the day, too, you know, a friend of mine who's the athletics director at Ohio State, you know, we talk frequently, and you know, he made the comment that, you know, at the end of the day, hey, we're still going to go to school, we're going to go to class, you know, we're still going to play the games, and we're going to develop young people. Those three things are consistent, yeah, regardless of all the other noise around the landscape. And so, you know, for folks, I try to reference, you know, think about that, right? Think about those core tenets that have made college athletics so special for 150 years. Those are still there, whether it's at Little Rock or somewhere else.
Yeah. You know, and speaking of new eras, one of the changes that we're preparing for is the move to the United Athletic Conference, which you recently announced.
Yes.
What sort of new opportunities do you see for Trojan Athletics entering into this new conference?
Well, I think the UAC has taken such an enterprising view of how collegiate conferences are comprised. You know, we're in a group now of institutions that very much look at athletics in a similar way, that look at it as, you know, that incredible institutional platform, that promotional tool. And so I think there's great alignment among the programs, you know, in the new United Athletic Conference. There's some things that you look at and it's pretty easy to understand. The geography, for example, you know, we're going to move from the Ohio Valley Conference, where we are kind of an outlier on the far southwestern fringe of the footprint, to a conference where we're located right in the middle of the geography. Makes for easier travel, both for our student athletes, our coaches, and our teams. Creates opportunities for our fans to be able to follow us, you know, to be able to get down to the DFW area in Dallas, or to be able to travel up and over to Tennessee. There's just more opportunity to be able to do those things. So that's one of the things that's pretty bold-faced and easy to see. A number of the benefits I'm not sure we'll fully realize until we're in the league and some of them reveal themselves. You know, for example, you know, we're now a part of this consortium, the United Athletic Consortium, where if you think about it, it's really two conferences in one. You've got the UAC, the United, as I call it, which Little Rock will be a part of, that is a combination of a couple of schools from the Western Athletic Conference, a couple of schools from the ASUN Conference, and then a school like us coming in new. And then you have a newly configured Atlantic Sun Conference. And so there are times where we will operate as separate conferences. For example, when it comes to qualifying for NCAA competition, we'll each have individual automatic qualifying bids and we'll send multiple teams to tournaments. But then there are times where we'll act as one consortium, one group, whether it's and when we go to select championship sites, volume buying, volume purchasing. There's only one conference staff instead of two, so we're spending less in areas like overhead and personnel. So I think it's going to create these opportunities for us to be effective and efficient, and really will become, I think, the future of what college athletics conferences look like, particularly, you know, below those top four power conferences, the SEC, the ACC, the Big Ten, and the Big 12. I think you're going to start to look more at more and more conferences apply this type of model.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and do you think there's an opportunity, you know, you mentioned kind of being an outlier geographically. UCA is in this conference as well. Is there an opportunity potentially to strengthen what might be kind of a new natural in-state rival within the conference in that sense?
Absolutely. You know, I refer to them as the school up north. I don't use the name very often, but in all seriousness, you take a situation where you have a natural rival that's just 35 minutes away. And now all of a sudden they become a conference rival. And so everything that goes into that intensifies, right? There's literally going to be conference championships that are at stake when we play. So I love the fact that we're that close. As a matter of fact, you know, we consulted with them quite a bit when we were looking at making this decision, you know, just to get their perspective and kind of what their experiences have been with the conference staff or with their colleagues or fellow members. So it's very much a friendly rivalry. You know, we go to battle on the court, but we're friends and oftentimes partners off it. And so I think that'll be a great thing for college athletics in the region to have that type of rivalry, a conference rival, all within, you know, a half hour's drive.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that is an unfortunate side effect within the Power Four conference realignment. Like you're seeing leagues get so large that you're losing regional games depending upon how they split up the schedule.
Certainly.
And what makes college athletics great is the story. And you know, I love the story from Arkadelphia with the two schools that have to walk to each other's football games.
And they're about 500 yards apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the idea that now – I know that we play UCA regularly during the basketball season, but the idea now that there's a little more weight to it as a fan is exciting.
Sure. And you know, we've had a rivalry series with UCA for a number of years where we award the Governor's Cup at the end of the year. It's a – you know, there's a point system that, you know, when you earn a victory and we play one another in every sport that we each sponsor. So I think it just helps intensify and grow that rivalry even more. You know, I do like the fact that the league we're going into, you know, is very much competing against schools and for the most part, contiguous states. You know, you mentioned the loss of some of the regionality. You know, when you look up and you see that Stanford and Cal are in something called the Atlantic Coast Conference, right? Where, you know, if there was ever an earthquake, they might break off into the Pacific Ocean. you kind of shake your head a little bit and wonder what we're doing. So, we've taken a much different approach where, you know, the United Athletic Conference is going to be a very southern facing league and markets that are growing and thriving like Little Rock, like Nashville, near Lexington, Kentucky, in the Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex. So, very much a forward-thinking group, group of schools and markets. So we think that's really the future. That's where we'll have the best chance to thrive.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people probably don't realize some of the challenges that go along with changing a conference. There's logos on uniforms painted on walls all across campus that will have to be changed. We have athletic programs that are in different conferences currently based on what, you know, like wrestling may be in a different conference than basketball currently. So can you speak a little bit to the logistics behind a change this big that, like I said, your average person probably isn't, you know, it's not crossing their mind?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there certainly are I guess what you might call unintended consequences of making a move like that, and part of it is just that you develop a pro forma, a way of doing things, a pattern when you're in a league. Well, now all of a sudden, you know, there's certainly the boldface items like we've got an OVC logo in the paint on our basketball courts, right? That's going to have to be reworked, and that's fine. Things like uniforms, things like other places where it's physically represented. But then you start peeling back the layers and think about the fact that, you know, our teams are now traveling to an entirely new set of markets. Where they had the idea of the route they took to get to certain cities and the hotels that they stayed at, and even to go to the micro level, the restaurants that they ate at when they were in these various cities. Well, now it's an entirely new landscape. And so, we formed a transition team, much like you would in a political campaign, to go ahead and get a head start on those things so that our coaches and our student athletes aren't, while they'll certainly be experiencing new things, you know, come July and August when we start traveling, we want to make sure that as many of those things are mapped out and planned so that they don't have to spend time worrying about, well, hey, what hotels are we going to be at or how do we get to the stadium? That those things are all mapped out and that we're in a good spot to be able to let them focus on putting their best foot forward and competing. So we have a transition team internally within athletics. We've incorporated several individuals from the university because there'll be opportunities for us to tell a new story, right? When we go to these markets and we may have pockets of alums in Charlotte or in Louisville or somewhere else that maybe we didn't have a lot of opportunity to get to before and now we do. And then we work very closely with the team at the United Athletic Conference to get ahead head start and say, hey, what are the things that we need to have on our mind? What are the things that we need to be aware of as we plan for this transition? So in one sense, you know, the idea of having 7 or 8 months lead time is ample. On the other hand, it's really a condensed period of time when you think about, you know, all the things that need to be done. So exciting challenges, though. I mean, we're all looking forward to that move come July 1 of 2026.
And, you know, the aspect of the regionality and probably, like you're saying, an increased likelihood that we have alumni in these regional locations that we're traveling to, what sort of effect does that have on the recruiting process moving into areas where now these kids' families are probably going to be more likely to go see them?
Well, I'll give you one really good example there. So there are three schools that are in the DFW area. So Tarleton State, which is a little further west in Stevensville. We've got Abilene Christian, which is also kind of in the western part of the Metroplex, and UT Arlington, which is right in the heart. And Arlington was actually a former conference rival for about a decade when we were both in the Sun Belt Conference. Well, when I talked to several of our coaches, they've shared that we have recruited the state of Texas and certainly the DFW area far less in the last 4 years because we haven't had a league presence there. Now, just in the couple of months since we've made that announcement, I've had three or four coaches tell me how much more receptive were received in those areas because they know we're going to be coming back and that their families and friends are going to have an opportunity to see them. High school coaches and club coaches are now more familiar with our program because, again, we're coming through their area. So just that one example is a good one to show how it's creating and opening doors and new opportunities for us. And I anticipate that we'll reveal them elsewhere. You know, there's some really good cities in the crossover. You know, if you look at the A-Sun side of the consortium, you know, there are four schools in Florida. You get down into South Florida where every school has a large alumni base because of retirees and folks that seek that nice warm Florida weather in the winter. You know, you've got Stetson that's really right outside of Orlando, two schools in Jacksonville. Then as you go north, you've got Charlotte, which is one of the great growing cities of the South, and Louisville, Kentucky. So really good markets there. We get right near Nashville with both Austin Peay and Lipscomb. And then of course the Dallas market. So really good cities that Little Rock has significant numbers of alumni. So we're going to be able to engage them when we go to those markets, and we'll have somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 to 10 reasons to be in those cities every year. So that's exciting to be able to engage with alums who are a little further away from Little Rock, but now we have an opportunity to pick up the phone and talk to them because we're coming to their city.
Yeah. And of course, when it comes to recruiting, that, you know, the elephant in the room is, at least in today's current situation, is the transfer portal and NIL.
Sure.
How does a program like UA Little Rock start to position itself to be more competitive in this new landscape?
Sure. You know, I'd say our coaches have done a really nice job of using the transfer portal to our advantage. You know, I was just having a conversation with somebody about that earlier today, and we were talking about it in the sport of basketball. Certainly our flagship program, right? We need our basketball programs to thrive and be successful for the rest of the operation to work and thrive as well. I would say that over the first couple of years of the transfer portal era, you know, we're probably batting 500. I'd say that we've maybe lost as much as we've gained. While certainly we've had a student athlete or two that we really would have liked to have retained, wind up going somewhere else. We've also been able to bring in a lot of talent. So it taketh and it giveth. And so we're excited about the opportunities there. I don't view them as challenges, but indeed opportunities. Much as we might in some cases long for a different day when things were maybe more similar to how they were when we were coming of age. As is in business, as pretty much any other area of life, you adapt or die, right? Mm-hmm. And so within the context of these new rules, we're gonna stay true to who we are. We're not gonna compromise our core values or our beliefs, but we're gonna look for opportunities to modernize the program and use these new rules and this new era to our advantage.
Has there been any effort to look into how UA Little Rock may be able to leverage NIL or you know, I don't know what sort of opportunities at an institution our size as far as rev share is concerned, but, you know, what does that look like for us moving forward?
Sure. You know what, we've had a number of incredibly generous donors who have come forward to say, hey, we want to help Little Rock succeed in every way that it can. And at its core level, getting student athletes here is the most important thing we can do. So that student athlete investment is critical, whether that's through, you know, traditional scholarships, the, you know, the room, board, tuition fees and books, the, you know, what everybody's come to know of it, you know, some other complementary ways like providing cost of attendance stipends and what's been referred to as Alston money, something that came as a result of a Supreme Court decision a few years ago. And then the things that get headlines, right? You know, NIL, name, image, and likeness payments and revenue sharing. So, you know, we have a number of ways in which we can strategically invest in our student athletes. But it really all starts with the support of our donors and our fans. You know, those individuals, you know, deciding that hey, this matters to me. And I'm not going to necessarily just talk about it, but it's something that, you know, that I'm willing to invest my resources into support. You know, we've had a great response, and that's what has allowed us to keep our talent level at an elite level.
Yeah. And I can't imagine, there was another, you know, you announced the move to the new conference. There was another big announcement that came a week or two before that I can't imagine hurts recruiting, which is, you know, this campaign to build a new baseball stadium, some improvements to Jack Stevens, and a golf practice facility.
Right.
Can you speak a little bit to how those plans came to be and kind of the roadmap to how we get there?
Sure. You know, first I'll say that, you know, it was really inspired based on the success of the university centennial campaign. You know, Christian O'Neill, our vice chancellor for advancement and a close ally and partner of mine in the athletics program, you know, has done a phenomenal job in leading the campus through, you know, really this transformational effort, and it's impacted our campus and the environment in so many great ways. And, you know, really we've been able to do that with athletics at best being a passive part of that campaign. So we said, hey, what if we look to develop this vision, right? This broad-based vision that, yes, there's a facility component, but as I'll share in a moment, it goes a lot deeper than that. You know, that really shows, hey, there's a well-thought-out, organized vision for what athletics can be at Little Rock, and go to market and enlist people's support. We felt very confident that we have you know, the type of base of support that would allow this effort to be successful. So, you know, our team developed really three key pillars that we look at that are the bedrock of this soon to be announced campaign. We'll likely announce it formally here. What we're calling the Trojans United campaign, the campaign for Little Rock athletics in the spring. And that first pillar I talked about a moment ago is student athlete investment. How are we getting the best and the brightest to UA Little Rock? Traditional scholarships, NIL, revenue sharing, other opportunities to be able to support student athletes and get them here and keep them here and support them from a financial perspective. So that student athlete investment is key. It really all starts right there. The second pillar is once they're here, how do we allow them to thrive and be successful? You know, part of that, and probably the biggest part of it, is recruiting and retaining high quality coaches, certainly head coaches and then the assistants and their staff. They spend more time with their coaches than they do their mom or dad during the 4 or 5 years that they're on our campus. So being able to arm them with the best coaching and guidance is critical. But then you look at all the other things we do. How do we travel our student athletes? How do we outfit them? How do we provide them with the best sport performance, strength and conditioning training, the best sports medicine care, the best mental health services, whether it's from a sport performance standpoint standpoint or general counseling? Really, how do we go about our program and support those student athletes, mind, body, spirit, and soul? So that program excellence is really what we call that second pillar of the campaign. And then the third piece, and probably the one that's gotten the most attention, and I understand it because it's glitzy, right? And there's certainly some sizzle to it, is the facility side. You know, we just celebrated the 20th anniversary of the opening of the Jack Stevens Center. For those who have lived here that entire time, I think they find it hard to believe that it's actually been around for now, you know, now just entered its third decade. You know, what we want to do is make sure that that building, which has been an incredible asset, the Stevens family and Mr. Jack Stevens specifically, you know, their gift to allow that to happen was, to say transformational doesn't even begin to describe it. It fits on our campus right now. 20 years ago, it stood out in a really significant way, right? Our campus, I think, kind of grew up and took a little inspiration from that project. And so we're fortunate to have it. But how do we keep that building, that facility working for us? Not just athletics, but, you know, we host graduation, we host community events. We're going to look to host more community events in the way of concerts and shows and other entertainment. How do we keep that building working for us over the next two decades and service as well as it has for the past two? So that's our plan to be able to go in and renovate existing spaces, both those that are fan facing, that, you know, our constituents who come to events will see on a day to day basis, and then the back of house, really what our student athletes and our coaches see. We've got plans to add a 35,000 square foot basketball operations center onto the east end of the building, and being able to move our basketball programs into that area not only provides them with an elite space, but then it creates this domino effect that we're able to improve the status and the position of every one of our programs and all 235 student athletes within our program. So that's the plan for the Jack Stevens Center. You know, then we're looking at building a golf training center just south of the Coleman Sports Complex. We've had that land in place since the Coleman family made a very generous donation about 15 years ago now. And so we have an opportunity to turn that into what I've sort of called lightheartedly like our own Top Golf. We've got about 200 yards of driving range there, and so we'll look to build a clubhouse where it's really a headquarters for our team. They don't really have a headquarter right now. And so that'll be good for them. Our programs are right on the fringe of being in the top 30, especially on the men's side, and that puts you at the national championship level in college golf. So we're excited about being able to develop that for them. You know, and then probably the project that's gotten the most attention is the development of the space right here at the corner of University and Asher. You know, the university has had possession of this land for, think about that same period, you know, 12, 15 years now. And I think it's ripe for development in this way. The opportunity to go in and build about a 2,500 seat baseball stadium and a training facility that will help serve as a magnet, a means to bring people to the area. Whether or not there's a Trojan baseball game going on or not, we'll look to program that space so that there's a lot of things happening there throughout the weeks. And then to be able to develop the rest of the land around it from a commercial standpoint, whether that's restaurants or retail, everything from, you know, an ice cream shop to maybe a sports medicine center, you know, things like that will bring people to the area, you know, and help shine a spotlight on what I think is a really important part of, you know, kind of an extension of the Midtown district. So we're excited about working to develop that because we think it has significant impact. Definitely for the athletics program, most certainly for the university, but really the greater Little Rock and Central Arkansas community at large as well.
Yeah, and, you know, I could see geographically it acting kind of as, you know, kind of bookends the university with these, you know, what I imagine will now be kind of state-of-the-art athletic facilities on either end of the campus and you know, be an attractive doorway into the south side of campus. You mentioned the community a few times in that, and community involvement is key to a successful athletic programs. And UA Little Rock has definitely had that at moments in time throughout its history. You know, you mentioned in the announcement of these facilities, you know, if the Field of Dreams quote, if you build it, they will come. What other strategies are y'all looking to to employ to try to get that community buy-in and fan buy-in back in it, in addition to the facilities?
Sure. We think it's really important to pour into the communities that we ask to come out and support us, whether it's with their presence, their time, or their financial resources. And so we've been really intentional, especially over the last year, about developing those opportunities to serve this, particularly the Central Arkansas community. I'll give you one great example. This goes back a couple of months now, but we've developed a really great collaborative relationship with the Arkansas Food Bank. And so, we had a situation where about 125 of our student athletes, coaches, and staff members basically led a takeover of the food bank operation for a day and went in and were able to help prepare food for distribution for those who are less fortunate than we are. I think that's important for our student athletes to understand that hey, there's something out there bigger than just us. Plus it demonstrates that hey, we're not just take. We're willing to give as well. We've had several teams that just do kind of pop-ups, right? No pre-promotion of it, not a lot of planning, but they'll show up at an elementary school and open doors for kids as they're at drop-off, right? And greet them and high-five them and wish them a good day. Things like that, right, that help demonstrate that we're good community partners. We want to be invested in these areas. So those are just a couple of the many examples of things that we're really intentional about finding that can help make an impact.
Great. So what message would you like to leave, alumni, fans, students, community members that might be listening to this about the future of Trojan Athletics under your leadership?
Well, there's a number of things I think I'd mention, but to summarize it is that we're in a really good position right now. I think after some challenges over a period of time, we've got a great professional team in place, subject matter experts that are helping lead us in fundraising and marketing and ticket sales and all these other key areas, supporting our student athletes at a really high level, whether that be through academics or other pursuits, developing life skills and opportunities that they'll have beyond when they're in school. So we've got some really good momentum going in those areas. And then we've been able to create this vision, and it's broad and it has a lot of tentacles coming off of it. But we want to invite our constituents, who have a vested interest in our success, to have a conversation, right? Because, we want to be able to have that discussion to see what flips the switch for them. What are they really interested in? What are they passionate about? And how can we develop a partnership to help advance the program in a really good way? I think that will be the key to our success moving forward. And there's all sorts of other pieces that come off of that. Certainly, I feel really good about our conference situation and where we are there. I think that'll set us up for success for not just a couple of years, but a couple of decades. And then, of course, what we've talked about with the Trojans United campaign, I think that's going to be a significant pathway to us realizing the type of success and having the type of program that we all want to have.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Frank.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. Go Trojans.
Insight with Jonathan Seaborn is produced in the heart of Central Arkansas by Little Rock Public Radio, a service of UA Little Rock. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast or on the NPR app.